If you'd like to turn over to Matthew, the first chapter, and then we're going to spend just another few moments in a short while over in Luke 1 and then Ephesians 1. But let's begin in Luke chapter 1, and starting in verse 17. I'm sorry, I said Matthew. That's verse 17 in Matthew. So all the generations of Abram to David are 14 generations, and from David until the carrying away into Babylon are 14 generations, and from the carrying away into Babylon unto Christ are 14 generations, for a total of 42 generations. And mark that number. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when, as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take thee unto thee Mary, thy wife. For that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost, and she shall bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and he knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. That number 42 has to do with heavenly appearance. Isn't that just kind of coincidental, you know, 42 generations from Abraham being called to be the father of a great nation until the appearance of Jesus? The prophet Isaiah foretold of the Messiah being born of a virgin, and we all know that. And as a virgin, Mary was espoused to Joseph, meaning that they were engaged. They were promised to be married to one another. And can you imagine the situation that they suddenly found themselves in? And what a great shame it would have been upon their families, each of their families, for a young woman to be found with child before she was married. I mean, they were in a tight spot. Furthermore, if you think about it, what young man would ever want to marry a woman who has had a child who was never married? The scandal would be the result of an engagement being broken off, a marriage never happening, no feast, none of that would have happened. Mary would have just been a woman of reputation, let's put it that way, scorned, the mother of an illegitimate child. But God's plan would not be denied. It never is denied, and nothing can stop his plan. He sent an angel. He sent an angel, a messenger, to both Joseph and to Mary separately. And before receiving the angel in a dream, Joseph, being an honorable man, he loved Mary. I'm sure he did. And he didn't want her to be put in that situation. But he was in a spot. He was minded to put her away privately, saving Mary and her family from a lifelong situation of ridicule, embarrassment. But see, he was comforted by God's angel and reassured by his messenger. What comfort that must have been for Joseph. You see, we know Jesus had to be born of a virgin, so that there could be no accusation that he was merely the illegitimate product of two unmarried people. He had to be born of a virgin. See, God is Jesus' Father. We all know that. Who was conceived by the Holy Spirit in a human mother. Jesus had to become a human being of flesh and bones like all of us. He had to become that. He had to take on the form of a man so that he could be the Lamb, which God said he would provide, as foretold in Genesis. See how everything just all works together, even if it doesn't look nice on the outside? And then God sent an angel to Mary. Now put yourself in her position. Imagine her surprise when an angel came to her. And then imagine when he said to her that she would conceive without ever knowing a man. But she had faith. See, Jesus' human birth to an unmarried virgin woman was also prophesied and recorded in the Gospel of Luke. If you've got your finger in Luke 1, let's start in verse 26. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail Mary, thou art highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and he shall be called the Son of the Highest. The Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. I still can't help think about that conversation that both Mary and Joseph had to have with their parents. See, God could have chosen any woman to be the mother of Jesus, but he chose Mary. He highly favored her, or he much graced her. See, God's plan of grace had nothing to do with anything that Mary had done. She was a chaste virgin, chosen by God to give human life to an eternal son. So Mary delivered a son. She delivered Jesus, a male child, and was instructed by God's messenger to name him Jesus, which in the Hebrew is the word kayut, meaning life. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. He knew his Father's plan. And he knew his purpose for taking those seven steps down to become a whole humble man of no reputation. And he certainly knew the suffering that he would have to endure for the joy that was set before him. Only after Jesus was born did Joseph take Mary to be his lawful wife. And they went on to have four more sons and two daughters. But see, all of them were Jesus' half-brothers and sisters because they had a different father. They were all fully human, just like you and me, but they all needed to be saved, just like you and me. But Jesus was God's son. He was the firstborn of the Holy Spirit. He was both fully man and fully God. When we accepted Jesus into our hearts and we confessed him as our Lord and Savior, we received the same Spirit that overshadowed Mary. I mean, think about it. And that Spirit and the new life of Christ now abides in us. Praise God. Praise God. We were born anew of the Spirit, the same Spirit, even though we remain in these mortal fleshly bodies. Until that day the Lord takes us home, we're stuck. We're stuck in these flesh and bones. And these two natures, the fleshly nature and the spiritual, they coexist. And they're always at enmity with one another. As Paul described in Romans chapter 7. But Jesus gives us comfort. He said, "These things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace." There's no more war. There's peace. "In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." I've got much more to say, and maybe we'll just pick this up next week. But I was just thinking about how marvelous. I mean, we spend this time thinking of Jesus' birth, but ask yourself why. Think about it. Why? Well, God bless you this morning, and again, I pray he come today.